Hello and welcome to a brand new installment of Nintendo News Report for Wednesday, April 3rd, 2019. I'm your host, Donald Terriel, and I'm lucky to have power this morning because we had the biggest windstorm since records began, which was last year when all the records got destroyed in a windstorm. Joining us this week is a man who just got home from Boston, and boy, are his legs tired, Neil Ronahan.
Hi, everybody. They are tired. You walk a lot when you go to conventions, especially when you wind up like walking to the pier to get dinner several times.
Because God knows the alternative at PAX is $12 burgers.
I mean, like, the food...
$12 terrible burgers.
The food at the Boston Convention Center isn't as bad as it has been in years past. They actually have, like, a pretty decent grilled cheese place on the premises.
Oh, really?
Like, I overpaid for food when I didn't leave the convention center, but I don't think I was really that overall disappointed. Like, it was tolerable, decent food that I just paid too much money for.
Yeah. And of course, when I went 2 years ago, and probably if I go next year, it's like I get hit 33% worse anyway.
Yeah.
All right. The other man who's been through bosses, the man who's finally seeing the sun for the first time in a long time, Zach Miller.
It's up when I wake up, and it's up when I go to bed. So we're entering that long stretch of sun now.
The long
watch me start complaining about it in about 4 months.
Yeah. And also joining us tonight, the man who is ungodly excited for the fact that Stanley the Bugman is making a comeback, Justin Berube.
Yes, the oddest entry in the Donkey
Kong. Is Donkey Kong 3 good?
I haven't played too much Donkey Kong 3, but I actually played it a little more than a week or maybe 2 weeks ago at an arcade. And not too impressed, but I'm willing to give it a try. It's kind of weird to me because it's more of a shooter game. I mean, that's what Donkey Kong tried to get away from in the first place.
Did Miyamoto have a hand in that one? Or?
I really don't know too much about the history on that game, so that could be something I'd look into a bit.
Where's Popeye? Just give us Popeye already.
That's in licensing hell, isn't it?
Popeye is public domain. Hmm.
I thought somebody.
But I think the arcade game might have been tied to the movie. Maybe it would have been around the same era. Yeah, movie with Robin Williams.
But is like the everything about Popeye public domain, or is just like the old episode?
It might just be. Yeah, that's the thing. Is that I think that the arcade game might have had ties to something that is copyright.
It's like King.
Okay, Miyamoto is credited as the director of Donkey Kong 3.
Huh.
And I'm sure the Popeye concept is older than 1924, but that's the first year we've gotten anything into the public domain in I don't know how long, thanks Disney. So
I do like the plot of Donkey Kong 3 as per Wikipedia is Stanley is a bug man. Donkey Kong has taken refuge in his greenhouse. And it is now up to Stanley to stop the ape from stirring up any more insects that will soon destroy his flowers. Stanley saves the flowers by spraying bug spray on Donkey Kong. Thanks, Wikipedia.
Yeah, it's a weird game, and it is like a shooter, and isn't really so much about platforming, though you can move up and down different platforms
on
the stage, but it's bizarre, and I don't understand why that's a Donkey Kong game.
Because Donkey Kong is in it, presumably. Although it was the last Donkey Kong game, I think, for a decade. Until the combo of DK94 and Country.
Yeah.
I think so.
Anyway, well, we'll spoil one bit of news here. Donkey Kong 3 will be coming to Switch this Friday as part of the Arcade Archives from Hamster. It'll be $8. And I think we've pretty much all covered that off. So... So Neil, since you're the least frequent guest and you also had the most games here, what are some things that you were really in love with from PAX East?
So the first game, I'm actually on brand wearing a shirt, Super Crush KO, which is the game from the guys who made Graceful Explosion Machine, Vertex Pop. If you missed out on that game, I think it's like $13. It's on the eShop still. It was an early Switch eShop game. I think it came out like April or May of 2017.
Yeah, it was about 2 years, almost 2 years ago to the day.
Yeah, Super Crush KO is very similar in kind of style and gameplay as Gem, but Gem is a lot more of a shooter. And this is kind of, in the words of the developer, Mo, I forget his last name. He was very nice. It was nice to meet him because I really enjoyed his first game and I really liked the demo of his new game. So this is kind of like a 2D character action game, and he's actually very much inspired by stuff like Bayonetta. And it kind of shows in a weird way. Like, his goal with the original Gem was to make a side-scrolling shooter that felt like Bayonetta, which it kind of feels that way. So there is, like, a scoring system, and the way that this game works is that it's a side-scrolling brawler, where you have to kind of beat up all the enemies there, but you want to chain attacks together as quickly as possible, and you have a lot of different tools at your disposal. You have, you know, punches. You can keep your chain going by firing off a gun that kind of has a limited meter for you to be able to fire bullets off, so you kind of use that to link attacks together. There's also a wide variety of special attacks that you can use, and it just felt really good to bounce around and use all those abilities and try to, like, stylishly destroy all the foes on the screen. The demo was just a really good kind of, like, top-level view of it, and I don't know if they've had any kind of release window. I want to say summer, but that game was, like, one of my favorite games of PAX East, bar none. Did any of you guys play Gem?
I tried it for a short time, but didn't get very far. Okay. Although Gem is clearly popular. I mean, we had that list a few weeks ago of, like, the top 10 eShop game or top 10 indie games on Switch, and Gem was on it. So there's definitely
good for Gem.
So there's definitely something to that game that maybe a game where you punch people in the face is more my speed.
Yeah. Like, I think this might be, especially if you're not as much of a shooter guy. I think, like, I'm personally not as much of a shooter guy, but Gem really clicked with me. I think Super Crush KO will kind of, it takes a lot of the things that I liked about Gem, but just kind of applies them to a slightly different genre, even if it doesn't feel wholly that different from Gem.
Is Gem totally outrageous?
Not really. Like, visually, it has a very distinct art style that Super Crush KO kind of shares. Were you, like, trying to set up a joke that I didn't get?
Yes. Okay. Gem, it's a Gem cartoon the from the...
Oh, yes, Gem and the Hologram. Okay. Yeah, you're older than me.
Not even by that much.
Yeah, but I just... Gem and the Hologram.
Mind. I tried.
Before my time.
Okay.
Other games that I saw going down my little list that I have, Cyber Shadow, which I think a lot of people here are pretty stoked for.
Yeah.
So that is by Mechanical Skull, but it's being published by our friends at Yacht Club Games. So it's a game that's been in development for like 5 or 6 years by one dude, Arn Hunziker. And he's been working on the game by himself. I believe that about 2 years ago was when Yacht Club first started talking to him. I don't know exactly how long he's been, like, working under their wing, but dude's still making the game, is very much inspired by stuff like, not Ninja Gaiden, actually, but Shadow of the Ninja, the Natsume game that is apparently on 3DS Virtual Console, as well as, like, NES Batman. Some of the enemy design is kind of evocative of Contra. So I went from demo to demo of playing this and then going to play the Messenger DLC. So kind of comparing them, since they are both, like, ninja games that clearly throw back to the NES era, the movement is not as fluid in Cyber Shadow, but not really in a bad way. Like, there's a lot more deliberate movement here. Your character is a lot heavier, less nimble, but it's still, like, it just felt really good. It reminded me a lot of Shovel Knight, despite the fact that, yeah, they're both Yacht Club joints right now, but this game totally spun up outside of Shovel Knight's purview. But they definitely, like, I see why Yacht Club would have been like, yes, this is a game that fits our brand, because it really does feel like it's a, like, this could have been a Yacht Club made game, and I would not have doubted it.
Nice.
it's level-based. It seems like there's reason to go back and revisit old levels with new power-ups. Some of the power-ups that you get, like I played the first level where you don't really, it's just kind of like you got a sword. You use it, and then you fight a boss by hitting it with the sword. And then I played one later on where I got three abilities over the course of it. One was like a shuriken that you just, you know, fired straight. There was kind of like an up fire thrust that you could do, and then there was like a downward slam that you could do in the air. It's just, I want to play more of the game. It felt really good. We have video of that and Super Crush KO up on this YouTube channel. And I also have a preview written of Cyber Shatter that may or may not be turned into a video as well in the next few days. Next up on my list is Sayonara Wild Hearts, which is described as like a Swedish pop album video game. And it sure is that. It basically, it feels like a mix of Rez and Elite Beat Agents if they had a baby with Eurovision.
Shut up and take my money.
Yeah, like we had an appointment for this game on Saturday, which is the third day of the show. Alex Kalafi, co-founder of this here show, Alex Kalafi played it on Thursday. It was like, it just feels like Rez, and I'm like, I still don't know what that game is, but I'm excited to play it. And he's right, it does just feel like Rez. So there's some levels that are basically just like, it's not that you're playing a shooter, but you're like, it's like a racing game, so to speak, and you're just moving to different lanes to like collect gems and then build up your score, because you do get, you know, different, I think it's like bronze, silver, platinum, that stuff. So you do have that, and then there's also like Elite Beat Agent like button press moments where, like, you know, you'll time the button press and then you'll do a move on screen. There was some combat done in that manner, some like avoiding attacks and things like that. And it was a spectacle. I played it with headphones on, in handheld mode at the Annapurna booth at PAX East. And I finished the demo and kind of looked to both sides to be like, can I get away with playing this demo again? Which I think is probably the best thing I can say about that game, is that I just wanted to play more of it right away.
Yeah. So this got rolled out in, I think this got announced in December, and it's like, the initial reveal didn't make any sense, but the way you're describing it, yeah, this is, I think I'm in.
And they're still like working on the music for it. All the music's made in house at Simogo in Sweden. And I wonder if they're going to try to represent Sweden in Eurovision, because they probably could do that with these songs. Next up on my list of games is Mortal Kombat 11. We couldn't take any footage of it. Aww. It's a mystery to everybody. Honestly, I don't really know why we had that weird restriction. They did only show it in handheld mode, but it looked real good in handheld mode. Did find out that Shiver Entertainment is working on the port to Switch. They did some Scribblenauts ports over the past year. I don't know how good those ports were, but from what we saw of Mortal Kombat 11, it seems like it's running fine on Switch. Like, clearly, it reminded me a lot of that Vita version. The Vita version of Mortal Kombat 9. Like, that ran really well on Vita. Yes, maybe some of the graphics looked a little like rough because it was taking a big HD game and squeezing it onto a Vita. but it ran really well. Like, I played through that game on Vita, and Mortal Kombat 11 looks like it's going to play totally fine on Switch from what we saw from that demo. As always, not the final game. We haven't seen what it looks like on a TV, but very encouraging from what we saw. And it's one of those things where, like, I wonder what they were trying to hide by not having us take any footage of it.
Yeah.
Or have it on a TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it could have been, I mean, like, the 1080 visuals weren't running smooth enough yet.
Yeah. I mean, game's coming out in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Although I hope the visuals are good.
Ed Boon is already out there on various places talking like, yeah, the Switch is going to run at 60 frames. Okay, that's cool. What resolution?
Yeah. I mean, we'll find out as we get closer.
But I have a question about Mortal Kombat 11 that's not necessarily about Mortal Kombat. Is it running? Are they using the same engine that they did for Injustice 2?
Oh, dude, I have no
idea. Two look incredibly similar.
Probably.
Okay.
I still think everything. Did they use Unreal for everything?
I still want to get Injustice 2. I haven't gotten it yet. I'm waiting for a flash sale, but the Ninja Turtles are in it, so I'm going to have to buy it at some point.
Yeah, I've heard Injustice 2 is real good, but I haven't played a NetherRealm game since the first Injustice, I think, because I never played Mortal Kombat X or 10 or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, it looks like Injustice 2 runs on the Mortal Kombat 10 engine, which is Unreal Engine 3, and the mobile version runs on UE 4. So at this point, I'm assuming it would be running on Unreal 4.
Okay.
Interesting. There you go.
Last game I'm going to talk about is Duck Game.
Duck Game.
I don't have the duck button. The duck button is actually, it's in my son's room, because he's been playing with the duck button that I got from the press appointment that we had for Duck Game.
Is it a button that quacks?
Yes, because there is a button that you can press in Duck Game that you quack.
Nice.
There's also a button where you can play dead. I knew nothing about this game going into it other than like, okay, dopey local multiplayer single screen game, cool.
Well, we played it at PAX East like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I never did.
Okay, I did.
It was me, I think Zach and I both did that, but it's been so long, I've completely forgotten what that game's deal was.
Yeah, so, but I did go with Matt Zawadniak from Nintendo World Report. He's a big fan of it. He's played a bunch with his friends on Steam. So I went into this game playing against him, the single developer who worked on it. Apparently Armature Studios helped with the port to Switch, but it's made by one guy. His name is Landon. I forget his last name. I think the developer is like Corptron Games. It's being published by Adult Swim Games on Switch. And then there was like the product marketing guy from Adult Swim Games. So it's people that all had experience with the game. So they just clowned on me when we first started playing. I got some wins as we go through it, but it is like it's that tower falling, fast paced nature of. But like, so you can probably set it to different win totals. But we were playing it where it was the first 10 wins. But the way it works is that I think I don't know the exact amount, but you play like 8 games in a row, and then there will be an intermission that will show you like who's where in the standings. So like someone could get to 10, but if you get above them before the next intermission, then you could win. But so the way it works is that every stage is designed, but they're randomly shown up. There is a level type that is procedurally generated. There are created levels which will be sort of able to be shared online. Like I think what the developer's working on now is something like, if let's say Zach, you and I made a bunch of levels of Duck Game. We played online. When we play online together, the level pool that's being picked will be both of our created levels.
Okay.
So they can kind of, and then like I would have like I in theory, the game's not done yet. It's coming out in a month from now. It's coming out May 2nd, I think. In theory, then there might also be the functionality that if like we play a bunch of online games together, I'm like, oh, what, like what's that level that Zach had? I would be able to go to like a recently played list and be able to like download that locally onto my system.
Okay. So Duck Game sounds like, cause when me and Donald played it, we asked probably CJ if it will have online play. He said he didn't know at the time.
It does.
Since it does, it has an immediate, benefit over Towerfall.
Yeah. Switch only. However, we should play Duck Game online, guys. This game's great. You basically, you all spawn on a level that's there's, it's random selections, but the levels are designed for the most part. And they usually, like some of them might have some hooks. Like there's one where like you could pick up metal suits of armor to wear, and then there were magnets that like could attract you and then throw you off the edge. But then a lot of them, it's kind of like you just spawn into like a design level floating in space, and then you pick up guns and try to kill each other. You can do stuff like play dead, which I noticed the developer do this when we playing, where like I just like fire a shotgun blast at him while he was in midair, where like his jump, he should have gotten hit by the bullets, but he'd hit the button to play dead. And then when you hit that button, you just ragdoll. So he'd be in like midair in a jump, hit the button to ragdoll, and then dodge the bullet and just drop to the ground. So there's a lot of nuance to what is a profoundly silly idea. It was no surprise talking to the developer after we played that like he's a big Smash Brothers fan, a big fan of Sakurai, And it like really comes through because it is a game that is just meant about like giggling and laughing and having a good time with friends. But there is a deeper level to it if you want to engage with that. But also because of how dopey it is, just because you understand that deeper level, you're not unbeatable.
Yeah.
Because like I said, so I think when we played, I did get last place, but not that bad. And I'd never played the game before. And I played it with three people that had played the game before. I think like two people, like one person finished with like 11 wins, one with 9 or 10, someone had like 7, and then I had 6 or something like that. And that's me never playing the game, playing against people who were experienced with it.
Do you get to pick different species of duck, or are you all a mailer?
You do get to pick your duck, and you can pick a hat as well.
Oh.
And they're all different colors, but I don't know how much they are, like, different species of duck. Ducks, yeah. That I'd have to research more.
So here's my plan. I'm going to do 2 rounds of Duck Game, and then I'm going to go boot up Untitled Goose Game when it comes out.
Yeah. but we should play this online. After last PAX East thing, we had 2 panels. There was an Animal Crossing panel. That was me, Alex Calafi, and John Raritan. You can watch that. There should be like a replay on Twitch. But the one that was kind of my little baby was Who Wants to Be a Nintendoware, that Zach supplied questions for, that we only got through 3 games. Because I had this brilliant idea of, like, let's do some games to pick who's going to be the contestant. The first game was the dodgeball game Stickbold. Yeah. The first game was a dodgeball game called Stickbold. That we had, so you could do 6 players, and I'm like, all right, we'll get 6 players up. I noticed when I played it that, like, okay, everybody, like, won a game the first time I played it, and that kind of took a long time. But that's not going to happen. We do it live. We ended up playing 7 rounds of the dodgeball game. Because everybody won one. It took about so we had an hour-long panel. It wound up, all said and done, it was like an hour 10, because we were the last panel of the night, and they let us go over a little bit. Stickbold took up the first 20 minutes. After that, it kind of ran smoothly, because then we did a round of Towerfall to pick the second contestant, and then we did Smash Brothers. And those Towerfalls, we did it, we kind of... We fixed our rules for Towerfall to make it go a lot quicker, and then Smash you can do like 4-minute time limit. Yeah. So like that was a little rocky start, but we also did find that Matt Zawadniak from the website is a savant at commentating. He had never played Stickbold, he had never seen Stickbold or Towerfall in his life, and he did a bang up job. Commentating that for a crowd of 200 people. So I'm gonna say this here. We're gonna try to do some duck game games and maybe get him to commentate.
There you go.
Nice.
It was an offhand comment that now I'm saying on the record. Send this clip to Matt and be like, "This is your future." And he's really into duck game. I don't think it'll be a hard sell.
Nice. And somebody got to 500,000.
Yeah. That's what I mean. So we only got through 3 games of Nintendoware, but it's like, I think the first one, the guy got up to like the $32,000 question, so 10 questions in, but then got it wrong, so he went back down to 1,000. He gambled. The next guy went up to 200, the 13th of 15 questions.
Wow.
And the other dude, and the final guy got up 14 of 15 questions, and actually... he was like, all right, I'm going to walk away here. And I asked him, what would you have picked? Yeah, he would have gotten it right. But then I asked him the million-dollar question just to see, and he got that one wrong. So,
that's insane. Man, I'm speaking here as somebody who's actually managed to win a Nintendoware before on a telethon. I think that would have been the first time we've ever gotten to a million. If he had gone for it,
first time 500,000, I think.
Yeah, no, I think I should keep better record of this. I think we had someone get to like the 9th or 10th, or no, like the 11th or 12th question.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was the million that he would have lost?
It was one that I did about who designed the NES.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Does anybody know without me giving any answers?
I don't even remember.
If I heard the name, I'd probably know. I'm just mad that I don't know off the top of my head.
Yeah. Too bad, Justin. Yeah, you never know. You'll have to watch the video to find out.
All right. So, Justin, you've been playing some Yoshi's Crafted World, which, considering that's the big Nintendo game of the last, what, month and a half,
Week.
that we should probably talk about that. So how far in are you into Yoshi right now?
I'm a little past the first gem you collect. I guess that's what it is. The story goes like, I guess there's like a happy thing and it has gems that power it. Now you have to go collect the gems to repower it. You know this type of story. So I got the first gem back, and then it gives you like an actual branching path of different places you can go. This game, I don't know how I feel about this game. I'm having fun. It's not challenging at all, except the challenge, like many Yoshi games as of late, come from trying to find everything. And
It's all Yoshi games.
actually, this one hasn't been too bad collecting the main things. So it's actually much more forgiving, I think, even than Woolly World. When I think Woolly World, you had to collect all of the same thing when you beat a level for it to like.
No. It doesn't it save? It saves how many you've gotten.
Yeah, this one you only have to collect everything once, and if like you miss something, then you just have to go back and get the one thing you missed and finish the level.
I think it was that way in Woolly World, though.
Was it? I thought Woolly World you had to get like all the like
No, I
flowers
don't
and
remember.
Honeycomb. Yeah, I don't remember. For some reason, I felt like you had to get every of. You don't need to get them all at once for it to count as 100%, but each category I felt like you needed to like
Oh,
complete.
that could be it. I just remember Woolly World's problem was like half of that shit was hidden in invisible clouds.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that here, but it's probably not as bad as Woolly World from what I've seen so far. Where the game gets weird. Oh, first of all, before I get to that, yeah, you can play every level on the flip side. But I was thinking about it today. I think in one of the original trailers for this game, it was showing you being able to go to the flip side more freely.
Yeah, like you could do it in the level,
Yeah, so now it's
which I
just.
think they showed this game off pretty early,
Yeah, I
all
guess
things
they
considered.
scrapped that, which I don't know how. I think it may have been better if they kept the old idea of being able to just flip things. Because now it's just like, oh, go replay the level and find the Poochie Pups and do it real fast. So basically, you're just speed running the level till you hear barking and then hitting a Poochie Pup with an egg and running. So it's kind of like added fluff in a way, because that part's not too challenging from what I've seen so far. There may have been like one or two levels where like you can screw something up, but the more challenging part is, and somewhat annoying, is you're given challenges to go back to these levels multiple times for. Like they'll talk to a guy's like, "Yeah, go in the level and find this," and it'll be either in the foreground or the background, or find multiple of these things in the foreground or background. So basically, you're just going through the level.
For one thing, I noticed that in the demo, I didn't like it.
And
Yeah,
I talked about this on Twitter. It reminds me of Highlights Magazine when you had to do those find in the picture.
had fun with those things.
Yeah,
I
I did.
think
I mean, it's
I.
not fun, but it can be frustrating when you're like, I made it to the end of the level and I missed something, so now I'm going to walk backwards.
Yeah.
Just like put that as a challenge in every stage.
Yeah, but I think it really bothers me because you have to wait for, I guess it's like each, it's like
You have to
more like,
beat each world.
yeah,
And
each
then
world is like a
the
little
guy will
diorama.
be like, go through these again.
And he doesn't give you everything at once. So you get like one thing, and then it'll be like, okay, now that you got this, I got another thing for you to find, and it might be in the same level. And you're like, well, why didn't you just give me all of them at once so I could do it all at once?
I think
Instead.
it's also like I kind of started learning the language of the game a little bit. So when I'd be playing the levels the first time, I'd be like, oh, I probably need to get a bunch of those like different colored sheep.
Yeah, you can like kind of figure that out, because also when you do the target thing, it kind of highlights different things in the background, and a lot of
Yeah.
those things that you go back for are
I think there's
highlighted.
part of me that wishes if it would like the first time you go through a level it would and you hit that thing, it would kind of credit it. So it'd be like, oh, you already found it. Here's your flower.
Yeah,
That'd be nice.
exactly. Because it's
Yeah.
kind of
I do
if you say that, it really makes me think of how with the regular collectibles, you only need to collect them once, but with those, you could collect them in
Yeah.
that sense, and it just like doesn't count until they want it to.
Yeah,
So it's
like
kind of weird.
it did not bother me as much, but I totally see like the padding argument for all those things. Like I've been having it because it gives me a good excuse, and I'm also coming at it from like playing it with my 10-month old on my lap. that like it gives me an excuse to like go through a level and just kind of romp through it and not really pay attention and like maybe look for those last couple red coins that I was missing or try to get that flower that I screwed up a little mini game the first time through while looking for like a specific type of cow.
Yeah, I mean the gotcha missables are kind of
oh, there's annoying. Those. No.
There's not too many of them, Zach, from what I've seen, but okay. There's maybe like a couple and a few levels.
It is, yeah. It's not as egregious as past Yoshi games. As someone who that bothered me to high hell in past Yoshi games, yeah. It's not that bad. Because what it'll be the thing where it's like, oh, like you have to collect these coins in X amount of time. Like that'll be the.
Oh, so it's not like in. Because I'm thinking of specifically Kirby's Rainbow Curse, where you go in a mini stage or a room, and it's like, you know, here's the collectible way over here. It doesn't tell you what you're supposed to do, and all of a sudden, like, the floor starts dropping.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What the fuck am I supposed to do here? And then
miss like,
it.
There's
levels. Replay the whole level.
They're, like, kind of, like, I mean, not necessarily auto-scrolling, but definitely, like, forward movement things. Where, like, you're on a train or you're being chased by a dinosaur.
Or you're in a mech.
Yeah, yeah, or that, like, and, like, those. But those are also, like, very quick levels to replay. I played that mech level.
It's frustrating, though, if, like, you miss something and you have to play the level, because then you have to finish the level for some of those things. And it's like, oh, I got the thing, and now I just got to ride this out. And it's not very the game really, from a difficulty standpoint, is not very challenging at all.
I think I said it in my review that it never gets hard. The last like handful of levels get tricky.
Yeah, and
where you're kind of like, oh, like that was a little like that. That made me think a little bit. Like I had to move quickly during that situation.
And if you're using costumes, the whole heart situation is almost a non-factor at all because you can take 5 hits, and then I think you can even get some back if you hit checkpoints and stuff like that.
Yep.
So you're basically almost invincible. Just scan a random amiibo not compatible with the game and play in the amiibo box like I do, and you get 5 hits.
I will almost certainly get this game just because there's dinosaurs and I don't want to have to turn on my
what
Wii
other Nintendo games? Wii World. What other new Nintendo games are coming out on Switch in 2019 so far? New Super Mario Brothers UDX and Yoshi's Crafted World. We are a quarter of the way through the year. And those are the only two Nintendo published games on your system.
Hey. Next week, we can stick our heads into a bird's rear end.
I mean, like, don't get me wrong. I'm really excited for Labo VR Kit, Box Boy. I did play Box Boy and Box Girl at PAX East.
Sounds like more Box Boy.
Yeah, sure is a new Box Boy game. They added co-op. The co-op seems like fun. Yeah. It's totally fine.
Is it a compilation of all the Box Boys or is it all new stuff?
No, it's all new stuff.
Okay, I kind of wish it was a compilation.
There's like a buttload of levels though. And there's a single player mode, there's a co-op mode that all the levels are designed for co-op, and then there is one with the what looking back at the Nintendo Direct, they just refer to as it's like I forget the guy's name, but it's like the tall one. And, like, in the direct, they're like, here's his name. He's the tall one. but there's a preview of that up on NintendoWorldReport.com.
And the one good April Fool's joke this year, because thank God most companies have decided to get away from that, was Box Boy, or Box Boy is now circular and Kirby is now square.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Hey, next week we're getting that Gunman Clive guy's robot game.
We're getting that tomorrow.
Oh shit!
Yeah. For those of you who want to point out that there's only been two Nintendo games this year on the Switch. There's been like two or three Game of the Year candidates seemingly coming out every like, week.
Not overall knocking the Switch's lineup this year because like there's Nintendo's output. I mean, look at our reviews. I've reviewed a lot of games that I have loved, one of which we'll talk about because Donald's been playing it very shortly. I'm just speaking from an overall Nintendo published perspective on the Switch, and they have absolutely punted away the first 4 months of the year, at least. Because honestly, we have nothing on the docket confirmed This is our. It's a Wii U port. It's Yoshi's Crafted World. Totally fine. Loved it. You can read my review of both of those games. They're both very positive. Labo VR Kit, Box Boy and Box Girl. That's a third of the year.
The Nintendo arcade games. Releases count?
I mean, technically, they're not Nintendo. That's
well, Hamster. They're not Nintendo published, but
yeah,
they're Nintendo games.
And I guess like you Travis Strikes Again. I think like the physical versions public. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I want to talk about, Travis, because I played that last week a little bit. I played part of that game.
I enjoyed it. It's a fun game. I haven't played the DLC yet. I've been meaning to play the DLC.
I haven't gotten through it. I'm gonna try and beat it, but I don't know how I feel about it. Like, it's not bad. It's not good. It kind of reminds me of the Ninja Turtles 2 on NES beat 'em up type game.
Yeah. I came away pretty positive on Travis Strikes Again, mostly because I think I just missed the No More Heroes games.
It's got good style.
That's the thing, is that like the gameplay is honestly very repetitive.
Oh yeah.
But the thing is that it doesn't really overstay its welcome. Like everything kind of has a silly hook, and outside of that stupid one, the one where you're like exploring a top down like development or something.
What I just did in my head,
yeah,
Jason.
Yeah, that sucks. That goes on way too long.
No, it goes on way too long. Is that text adventure? But then it rips on itself later.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like the text adventure. Oh God, like that's the thing is that like
it's just to put the game back in the box.
It's such a wink and a nod of like, we know how ridiculous this all is, that even in its repetition, even in some bad things with that game, I really, really enjoyed it and had a great time. And like they keep on like with every chapter, with the like, I really think that second game is bad and goes on way too long. Everything else, like, it's just long enough that I'm like, that was cute and clever. Now I'm ready to move on.
I think and, actually they did the one after that too, with like the hotel.
Like the Resident Evil kind of parody. And there's just some really goofy stuff in that, and I love it.
I'm kind of confused with the plot, but it's been so long since
the plot is nonsense. I remembered nothing of No More Heroes 1 and 2. I was Googling characters to be like, who's that again? Is that relevant?
I know. I'm kind of lost with that, but it I don't know. I don't know what to think. It's not bad. It's not good. It's kind of like mediocre. I like the style, though.
Yeah.
I played some Downwell.
That's a great game. Yeah, also,
Downwell was amazing.
2019 Switch game.
Yeah. It's okay. I think it could do a better job explaining the power-ups and stuff.
I think you need to get good.
Okay. Yeah, there's not a lot to learn there. I mean, there's like four types of guns and
there's like two buttons.
And I'm like, oh, wait, I want to go back.
It was a mobile game that was totally playable on no mobile without issue because it's like two buttons.
And I think it could use a little more explaining the power-ups. I don't know what that balloon's doing.
You can explore. Figure it out for yourself.
Yeah. Okay.
That's like
my manual.
I need totally, the easy mode.
I totally get where you're coming from, except for I'll say that part of why I really enjoyed that game, because I was like, what does the power up do? I'm gonna try to figure out what this power up does. And yeah, I don't know what the balloon does either.
What does this do?
But like, I just like, that's the thing, is that it would be like, oh, this is a power up I haven't gotten. I want to know what it does. Like, how can this factor into my game? And like, there was a sense of discovery of that game that really clicked with me especially as I got into the deeper worlds too.
I like the dumb ass idle animations you unlock.
Yep.
Now he's rolling.
Well, no, but they're all like different. There's different nuances to all them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because like one of them, like I think you start off with more health, but you have less power ups you can choose from. Another one, I think,
didn't
has,
even
like,
realize that.
Jump.
Okay, yeah, I'll have to test that out.
But yeah, that's what I've been playing. That's
cool.
Yeah. All right, Zach, what have you been playing as of late?
I'll talk about two things for reasons I'm unsure of. Xseed went ahead and sent me a physical copy of Fate Extella Link.
Oh, I was wondering how you got a hold of that.
Probably because they sent me a physical copy of the other game. But I've been playing it. I'm not very far, but I like it more than the Umbral Star, although it's basically the same game.
Yeah.
There's more menu crap to deal with, which I don't know if I like.
Like having a level, like bond with the servants or.
Yeah, like in between mission stuff. I feel like there's a lot more, you have to equip stuff. And I mean, it's all basically the same as the first game. It feels like there's just more of it. It looks better. It doesn't look significantly better, but I think it looks and performs better. And it's a Warriors game. So
you will beat up 5,000 things in one round.
Yeah. And the reason I said on Twitter, Donald, can I play it on easy mode, is because if I play it on normal mode, missions take like 20 minutes or more. On easy, they take 10. Because you mow everything down, even the mini bosses. I just want to blow through the game, but I'm enjoying it enough.
Get through the storyline as quickly as possible. I don't blame you.
Yeah, and I'm going to buy some of the DLC, of course. Not all of it, but some.
Mostly for the waifus.
Maybe. And then I've been doing Vita stuff. I've been wanting to rearrange how games are on my memory cards forever. So I finally downloaded Content Manager tonight as we do this, and it's uploading to the PC. But I've been playing Sanran Kagura Estival Versus because there are downloaded missions that I'd gotten that I completely forgot about. And Estival is the best Sanran game. Excuse me. Those missions are really hard. Really, really hard. And but I like it. I like Estival more than the newest PS4 game, which I haven't beaten yet. I like Senran. I'm still waiting for some news on a Western release of the pinball game. Maybe we won't get it.
Xseed, get on that.
Yeah, no, man.
Well, I think we'll find out either way by the time E3 is over.
That's probably true. Yeah.
Because Anime World Report will be out in full force at E3, and we'll make sure that we find out what the scoop is. Hey,
you know, the longtime producer of that series, whose name I don't remember, quit.
Yeah,
quit because he didn't like that he had to take intimacy mode out of the PS4 game. You just boo-hoo.
I mean, Sony is being a little bit Puritan right now. We've seen that with some games that are having their other console or PC releases delayed because they have to get through Sony's BS, which is from Japanese games that have to go to America for approval, even if they're not going to release in the U.S.
Oh, that's real dumb.
Yeah. So good job, Sony.
Well, I will say that it's a weirdly inconsistent thing because every other Senran game's gotten through scot-free, and I mean, Lord knows there are more objectionable content-wise games on PS4 or Vita or whatever. It's just stupid, but his reason for quitting is, I think, stupid.
And yet he's still going to be working as
a consultant now. He's basically doing the same job, just...
Not getting paid, not getting a full salary for it.
Right, right, right. So, long live Senran Kagura.
Yeah. And also, you mentioned before the show you were rearranging your cards to get all the Neptunia games on one memory card. Is it all right if I drop that card into Mount Doom?
If you can get a hold of it. and I put together the Labo Robot. The Labo Robot building that thing was really cool, and seeing it go together was really great. And then you have to play it. It's not good.
I feel like all my Labo experience, the most fun part is building it. And then
it is.
Which is totally okay.
Yeah.
I haven't done the vehicle kit, and I haven't done the robot.
Neither have I.
I got the robot on clearance at Target for like $17. That's about right.
Yeah, I went and they were all gone. I was going to buy some backups just for the parts. But
that's not a bad idea.
I'm sure other stores will start dropping them.
Yeah. They got to make room for the VR kit, especially if they're carrying two SKUs of it.
Three, right?
Four, right?
No,
the main one?
No, the two expansions to the starter kit are only on Nintendo.com or on the Nintendo Online Store.
That's why I couldn't find them.
I'll have to
order those.
So I'm going to have to buy the blaster alone or all of it.
You can let me pull
blaster plus goggles. I'm sorry, or all of it.
Yeah, or you can, or you could buy blaster plus goggles, and then if you want to shove your face into the rear end of a bird, you can get that kit separately, or you can get that kit plus one of from Nintendo.
Yeah, okay.
So it'd be like, and they're $20, so it'll work out to like 60.
All right, that's fine.
I'm wondering why the other ones didn't appear.
Yeah. Okay. They're only on Nintendo's online store. Really quickly, because I haven't unlocked the first world that you have to unlock yet, but I've been playing some Baba Is You.
Baba is good. Very interested in this game.
Baba is great.
Baba, right now for me, Baba is Goaty.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, granted, most of what I have played so far goes into the best remake category for my own personal game of the year list. But it's a very, very mind bending puzzle game that I've had to really think outside the box to figure out some of the puzzles.
Yeah, it is a mind bending game. That's just what it is. It'll wrinkle your brain, kids.
Nice.
And it's engrossing, and like the way everything animates and the music, like it's one of the best puzzle games I think I've ever played.
Yeah, because you get thrown into an area like, okay, I can only move three words, and I got to get through this.
Yeah,
and it's like trying to figure out what combination of the rules that are fixed can work with the rules that I can maneuver to try and get to the point where I'm winning.
Huh.
It's very, like, in a way, it's kind of similar to the old Adventures of Lolo, but with a lot of improvement.
It looks a little Lolo-y.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely worth checking out. It's only, I think it's $15, and you're doing yourself a disservice if you miss this one.
All right. Maybe don't wait for a flash sale worth 15.
I would, I'd say it's worth full price. I bought it day one, and I'm not regretting it, even though I only got to play it. Started playing it on Sunday. I'm not sure if this would warrant a physical, but stranger things have happened. I think you need to play this, Justin, though.
Like I said, somebody, I'm so careful with. Unless it's something I'm really, really dead set on playing right now, I'm like, I'm gonna wait for physical.
Is there a Soulja Boy version of this game?
I'm trying to think what that would be, and no.
Oh, Neil, do you know?
No.
Baba Is You.
That'll be the sequel in 2 years.
No, it's just gonna wind up on Soulja Boy's new console.
There you go.
The 3DS.
It'll be playing at Firefest.
Oh boy. Okay. So with that, let's actually get to some other news here. One thing that I forgot to put on the outline actually, but it's very quick. Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice was at PAX, apparently looking very good, and that's going to be out next week. From Microsoft's Ninja Theory. So the Microsoft-Nintendo partnership continuing to pay off, even though this was technically a game that they made before they got bought. Also, some really good performance in that game. I hear it was award-winning, but I find that hard to believe.
I don't Ninja Theory's games. But I've heard this game is good if you like Ninja Theory's games.
It is a character action game, definitely, but I think it's more of a more cerebral action game than what you would normally get from Ninja Theory.
Yeah, with an interesting plot.
Yeah. So that'll be out next week. NES Online games for April are out. We've got Punch-Out.
Yay!
We've got Star Soldier, for those of you who like your shooters with Scrolly, and Super Mario Brothers: The Lost Levels, or Super Mario Brothers 2. I took a flash poll last night on our Twitter at Nintendo_NWR. Let me go grab the results on that, because my question is, which is harder, beating the final boss of Punch Out or beating Lost Levels?
Lost Levels.
Lost Levels.
Especially since to play all the Lost Levels, don't you need to like go through the game multiple times or something like that to get all the hidden?
You need to get the like World 9, you have to play the game without warping. You have to see every level.
Yeah. That's pretty difficult.
Yeah. And apparently looks like we've got almost a 2-1 here. A very nice 69 votes pointing to Lost Levels being the more difficult feat. Although beating, as pointed out in one of the replies to that tweet, beating Punch Out with HD lag, that might be harder.
Oh,
I still don't think so.
But besides, you can also play that handheld anyway.
You know, what's harder than Lost Levels on a TV?
What?
Lost Levels in Super Mario Brothers Deluxe for the Game Boy Color.
Oh God!
I beat that shit.
I beat that too.
A long time ago, I couldn't do it anymore, but I did it back then.
It's not fun to play the original version we got on Mario All-Stars because it has the weird block punching thing where if you're running and break a block, you kind of get stuck on the block.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, it's like a weird...
Because that's the only way I've ever been able to beat Lost Levels like that is with All-Stars.
That's why All-Stars isn't very good. The physics are screwed up.
Yet I think I've played All-Stars more than I've played the original NES versions.
Well, Donald,
I probably have too, honestly.
And hey, nice to see that we're all getting three games now. After that,
yeah, it'll last a month. Someone in the chat asked us, "Which three games do you like to see in the May lineup for NES Online?" So it's not "do you think will happen."
Which one do we want to happen?
I can get dark real fast.
Ninja Turtles 2 and/or 3, which won't happen for licensing reasons, but that's what I'd like to see.
We can dream.
Shit, man.
I'd like to see some Mega Mans, but that's not going to happen because you can buy them.
Yeah.
No World Championships.
I'm scrolling through like a list of...
I'm thinking Double Dribble.
Yeah.
Oh, Dragon Quest 1 would be cool.
Yeah, that has less chance of happening than Mega Man, but...
So I feel like Final Fantasy and Dragon Quest are kind of screwed because you can buy a lot of those games like elsewhere on modern platforms. Like with all the Nintendo stuff, because... Yeah, you can buy them on 3DS, but like this is kind of a fresh start for them. Whereas I think Square, yeah, I mean, but that's fine. But that's like a one-time buy. Whereas this is
forever.
I don't know. Yeah. Like I think things like Final Fantasy and Dragon Quest, especially Square Enix stuff that is available for purchase on like mobile, will be a little bit harder to get on the Switch Online service.
Eric Goblin brings up Brown Beginnings in the chat. Which would be nice to see, especially if they have some addition that fixes some of that game's problems.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Lolo 2, Ninja Gaiden 2.
Yeah. Lolo 2.
And
how about Gaiden that weird.
Let me continue, please.
How about that weird Metroidvania game that came out on Wii U? Or
Euphoria?
Yeah.
Euphoria is really good.
It's a good game.
Maybe this is an off-the-board pick, especially considering I think Square Enix developed it initially. Rad Racer.
3D World Runner.
Well,
maybe
both have...
Maybe Rare will give us Battletoads. Yourself to be nice enough.
Battletoads save states is doable.
Yes,
except in two-player mode for the second player.
Is Bubble Bobble on it yet?
No, but that's a great choice. Bubble Bobble 2! Yeah. Get Bubble Bobble 2 on there!
So my three hopes for May would be Super Nintendo games.
Six.
Lolo 2, Ninja Gaiden 2, and what was the game that I literally just said?
Bubble Bobble. For
you. Oh, Bubble Bobble. Yeah, those would be my three picks. And then the next month, June can be
June will have E3, so we can launch Super Nintendo games there.
Also put out Star Tropics 2 in June. And, there was another one that we just mentioned.
Star Tropics 2?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, 1994.
It is bizarre.
Damn.
It is, you travel through time, but then one of the time traveling things that you go to is you visit England with Sherlock Holmes, who is a fictional character.
Not anymore. You screwed something up, and now he's real.
Yep.
Yeah, I think my May picks would be Double Dribble, Bubble Bobble, and we need to get a Nintendo published game on there, don't we?
Hotel Mario.
No, Lolo 2.
Okay, that'll work. Yeah, it's HAL, so it's pretty much the same thing. Yeah.
You're not Fire Emblem, Donald. You don't want a translated Fire Emblem?
Have one. Well, not translated.
No. Yeah, that's the problem. It's not translated. And even then, I don't think I'd want to go back. I think about the limit of what I can handle with Fire Emblem games. Going back that far would be New Mystery of the Emblem, which is essentially SNES sequel/remake.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely want to see Nintendo World Championships. That'd be fun to have on there. It's like a competition type game. I don't know what else. It's really hard for me to pick. There's so many.
Little Samson.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Oh man, you know how many eBay scalpers would start cutting themselves?
I don't think so. I mean, because there's still a market for.
Yeah, there's still a huge market for it. Shantae did not suddenly drop in price when it got to the 3DS eShop.
But it would be nice to have really hard to get games like that. Isn't there?
There's one Panic like Restaurant.
There's one mech game on NES I've never played, but I think it's kind of rare.
Really?
Mecha Storm, I think? The one that was on the cover of Nintendo Power once?
Like Metal Storm, maybe, or something?
Yeah, Metal Storm.
Yeah, I've never played that, but that looked interesting. I'd like to try that, so maybe throw that on there. But yeah, and I would like... I've never played Castlevania 3, which probably won't happen because that collection is coming out.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
I've
also never played Ninja Gaiden 3, but I hear...
Kid Dracula!
That might also be on the collection.
Yeah, I kind of hope that would be on the collection.
Yeah,
although I only played Kid Dracula on Game Boy.
Yeah, although the SRB rating for the Castlevania Collection actually came out, and they reference stuff that's only in the Genesis Castlevania Bloodlines, which is going to be on the Genesis Mini.
Interesting,
but it could also be coming in that collection, and if so, sweet.
But if it's not M2 in the collection,
then you're gonna hold out and get 39 other games with it.
Doing
M2?
Well, Sega. Well,
no,
yeah,
no, no. I meant M2. For the Konami collection.
Oh. The Konami ones.
I don't know.
They may be internal. They have not said who's doing the ports.
Oh, I also want to. Even though it's clearly not going to happen at this point, I'd like Nintendo of America to give us Joy Mech Fight.
Joy Mech Fight?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's out on the Japanese one. If you have a Japanese account, you can check it out.
Yeah. And I want to try that. I should make a Japanese account just to do that. But
you should.
Nintendo of America should have given it to us anyway.
Yeah.
Screw you guys.
Yeah, it wouldn't really hurt at all. They're all, yeah. What's the harm?
And even if you wanted to translate that game, how much text is really in it? Why don't we get, for the first time on a console in America, not the 3DS, that Takamaru game?
Oh, yeah. Takamaru's Ninja Castle? Mysterious Murasami Castle.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
That should come to the service also, because the only way to play that game in America ever has been on the 3DS.
If we're really shooting for the moon on that, can we also get the Summer Carnival 92?
Yeah, or Rekka 92.
Yeah, that was kind of cool too. So I did play that on 3DS. Let's do that.
Yeah.
I want all the weird stuff. Okay.
Well, I know what I'm doing tomorrow. Oh, I just see breaking news here. Well, I know what I'm doing tomorrow night. Fire Emblem Channel announced. 16 minutes long.
Fun, fun, fun.
More waifus.
So, just, speaking of waifus and, I guess, Atlas.
Yeah. So, Atlas is teasing again. A couple of weeks ago, they finally had their Persona 5 anime OVA air, and at the end, they announced we have something called Persona 5 Royal. It apparently has a new playable character who might have also been data mined from Smash Brothers, and that's a PS4 thing. No release date. Now we've got another website going up, p5s.jp. which is pointing to the second night of a two-night Persona 5 concert that's going to be held in Japan 3 weeks from tomorrow, April 25th. Just announce the damn thing.
I can't wait until they're like coming to Switch, the Persona 5 fighting game.
Actually, I think Arxis is kind of tied up right now. So I believe they're working on like the Granblue fighting game along with like Crosstag, keeping Crosstag updated and all that. So we're probably not seeing Persona 5 Arena until 2020. Unless they want to announce it now.
Yeah.
But
I mean, like, I just hope the damn game comes to Switch.
Yeah.
Just bring Persona 5 to Switch. I don't care what letter comes after it. Just
bring it to Switch.
Yeah.
Because we know you want to port it to a handheld, and, well, you don't really have any other choice. Unless you want to bring it to cell phones, which that would take some pretty big cojones on the part of Atlas to try and port that game to a mobile. But just enough with the announcement of an announcement of an announcement. Just launch it. Because we're also due for Joker and Smash in April.
Yeah, and I guess that's probably... I thought we might get something at the Smash Bros. Tournament at PAX East. We did not, other than the announcement of another tournament at E3.
Yeah.
Deal with that tournament. It's 3-on-3?
Yeah.
They're doing Squad Strike.
Yeah.
They're doing a Squad Strike play to have the team aspect of it. I still think I saw John Numbers competing in that anyway, so.
Yeah, he's in every Nintendo tournament ever.
Are there going to be items at this tournament?
I think there were in the PAX East one. It's
very...
So that tournament, which will probably feature a Splat, if I had to guess, because it'll be coming up on that time, we probably get the announcement of what the last Splatfest for Splatoon 2 will be.
Oh.
And... because, remember, they promised 2 years of Splatfests, though they did extend the 12 months of support to 18 and continue to drop new weapons up until, like, this week. And so we probably get that, and Joker will be well out, so it'll be about time, maybe, to do another character tease or character announcement.
It wouldn't surprise me. E3's in... June, it wouldn't surprise me if they just shadow dropped a Smash character.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you think about it, what? So there's 5 that are supposed to be out by early next year. Is that?
Yeah.
So you think.
5 by February 2020.
Yeah. So with that in mind, so Joker will probably be in April. Whether it's a shadow drop or not, I think like E3, there will be a new character either announced and released shortly after or announced there. I feel like it's Nintendo style to release the new character like day of E3.
Like they did. They did
Octo Expansion last year.
It's just going to be announced at the Microsoft event. It's going to be Minecraft Steve.
Yeah. Or Master Chef.
Or Banjo.
Yeah.
I really think it's going to be
Minecraft Battle Toad.
Because of Microsoft's tweet months ago on whatever, like, Appreciation Day. It's like, we appreciate... No, we really dig Smash Brothers or something like that.
Like they there was like a Master Chief joining the fight or something, or
Yeah. So what
finishing
happened
the.
was Twitter Gaming, I think, was like, who do you think would be nice to have in Smash? And the Halo account replied with an image of Master Chief. So that happened. But
That's
yeah, so I think character two will be June. Character three, when's Evo?
early August.
Okay. That character three, whether it's announced or whether it's announced or out, then I could see like character three sounds like an August September thing. Then you do another one tied to a direct in like that's announced in like October, I don't know. And that'll be out for the holiday season, and then you have the final one comes out February. And that'll probably be that, I would think. That seems like a decent rough outline.
And they announced season two, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, if the rumors are to be believed, season one is no character who's in an existing series represented in Smash Brothers. So then we do season two to get in the Gen 8 Grass Starter and
And
Edelgard and
Echoes.
Rex Rex.
yeah, probably take about that long.
Yeah. So I guess
Yeah,
there's a
and.
Best Buy leak.
Yeah, so Best Buy, they had a pretty rough couple of days when it came to stuff getting out that probably shouldn't have.
I love Best
So
Buy.
on Sunday night, or on Sunday, actually it was Sunday morning, they leaked the render, what seemed to be the official render for Joker and Smash. Okay, that's fine. Pick character art. You can probably fake that, I guess. And then Tuesday, in addition to finding Persona 5 Switch in this in their stock keeping system. They also found Metroid Prime Trilogy and a Switch version of The Legend of Zelda: A Link to the Past.
So, I feel like the Link to the Past thing is they saw IGN's April Fool's joke.
Which, for those who don't know, is everything is coming to Switch,
Yeah,
including Facebook Game of the Year edition.
they start off with a bunch of Zelda games, though. I mean, like the Persona 5 thing and the Metroid Prime Trilogy stuff is all things that have been rumored. So that certainly seems like something that could just be like, oh, we anticipate these to be announced. The Link to the Past stuff is weird because one, they're literally remaking a Zelda game, and also Link's Awakening already has its own page in the Best Buy system.
You can pre-order Link's Awakening for Best
Yeah.
Buy, I believe.
But with Link to the Past, like they're not going to do a remake of that this year. That would be insane because they have literally a remake of the Game Boy game that was inspired by Link to the Past. It seems not worth it.
Yeah. The what I'm actually thinking that is, and maybe this is crazy, I'm thinking physical release for Cadence of Hyrule. Because the first tile set
Oh,
they showed
yeah.
for that
Oh,
was Link to the Past. And they're like, okay, we're gonna, oh, so we're gonna get Link
okay.
to the Past.
I didn't hear that yet, and that makes a lot of sense. That maybe
Yeah.
they like it could have been something where, yeah, they just got put into their database wrong, but maybe that's just supposed to be Cadence of Hyrule. Because I would kind of assume, even Boxboy, I mean, Justin, keep an ear out if you think about how Nintendo's last their I think it's their only other Switch eShop title that's not Tetris 99, Snipperclips got a physical release. I would assume that probably Boxboy will get a physical release. I would think that Cadence of Hyrule will get a physical release.
Well, if Boxboy gets a physical release, maybe they'll give us that amiibo fine.
Probably
Amiibo.
not.
Yeah.
It would be
Not
nice
happy, but it's not fair for people.
if Cadence of Hyrule did get a physical release, it'd be nice if they threw the original game on there too, because I never played it.
Yeah. Maybe like that might get complicated because like that's I don't
Yeah.
know. Maybe that's possible.
That's but yeah, I think we maybe are reading too much into this because we've there's a simplest explanation is simply they saw that there was like a link, there's something that had Link to the Past theming to it,
Yeah.
not realizing that it was a completely unrelated game and just ran with it
Yep.
with
Does
when
Best
they
Buy
loaded it.
often have weird placeholders like this that are more speculative?
I don't know.
I don't
I
think they
don't
normally do.
either. I think they had,
Oh.
I mean, granted, part of that was probably due to Walmart Canada, but there was like Borderlands 3 has been rumored to be and being announced anytime for like a year now. So I bet that they probably had something for that, even though like the additions for that game just got released today.
Well, if Metroid Prime Trilogy is real, I hope there's some sort of Samus helmet I can build for the Labo kit to play in.
The one that's also likely to be changed because it'll be Metroid Other MHD.
No.
Yeah. Fun fact, Samus also a canonical parent in Smash Brothers. One of like eight.
Why did this come up?
I think it was
I saw,
news.
no, I think I saw somebody like I saw a writer from Game Informer,
Yeah, okay. We saw the same tweet.
Emran was like, here's a, I'm trying to think, are these all the parents in Smash? And then somebody replied, Samus, and then the natural reply is, we don't talk about that,
Samus
but I suppose it is true.
and Zero Suit Samus both count, right?
Counts for two, I guess. But anyway, I think if we're talking about the baby, I think it's time to wrap this up.
That sounds like a
Please,
good plan.
yes.
Okay, so plug section here, patreon.com/NWR exclusive content. We may or may not have a first look at Who Wants to Be a Nintendo Heir going on the Patreon very soon.
Yes, I think tonight, if you wait long enough, it'll be there.
Or for certain lengths of tonight. Or and of course the rough cut of the audio of this show will also be there probably within the next 20 minutes or so. Of course, the mothership is nintendoworldreport.com, news, reviews, and we had something very rare this week. We had an article from James Jones,
Good article.
giving a very well-deserved pillorying to a major Switch supporter. Because really, why would you talk about a game that's been that you haven't talked about for 3 years on April Fool's Day?
They also like teased an Ikaruga physical release, which I think they said they're not doing. Like, that's not as cruel as 90s arcade GP, but like, come on, Nicholas.
So that's over at NintendoWorldReport.com. You can rate review the show on iTunes. You can. Course on this here YouTube channel, youtube.com/NWRTV. Like, subscribe, hit the notification bell because, well, the YouTube sub box can be incredibly inconsistent, about as inconsistent as Best Buy's writers. And
Yeah.
of course, if you want to follow us on the socials, Neil is at Enron10.
am.
Zach is at Z Miller 1902. Oh, geez, one thing I forgot. Zach. Real quick, Shantae 5.
Cautiously optimistic, but I hope they didn't rush it out the door.
For Apple Arcade or whatever.
For anything. They said it's coming this year, which worries me.
Well, I mean, if they wrapped Half Genie Hero 2 years ago, so
Well,
or
they
2.5 years ago.
kept doing DLC, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should all listen to the latest radio trivia podcast for more.
Yeah. So with Zach talking about Half Genie Hero and some other games.
Way to
And
spoil one of the games.
well, what did you expect with a Zach on the show? Justin, of course, is on Twitter at King Nintendo Fan. And I am at NWR Donald. That's all for now. Thank you very much. Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Later.
Thank you.